Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI FM in Rochester, New York, and is funded by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council.
Say, there's a little rhythm, 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 the pit-pats through my brain. So darn persistent, the day isn't distant when it will drive me insane.
This is Fascinating Rhythm, songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. When songs tell stories, they tie themselves to an age-old tradition of narrative, told before they were written, chanted and sung before there was writing. Even in Tin Pan Alley and on Broadway, the tradition continued.
Oh, how I long to be the man I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, you gotta stop picking on me.
In the 1920s, a fad for psychiatry became part of American life. It was bound to show up in musicals eventually, and so it did. What You Tell Your Shrink is a kind of story. From Cole Porter's 1941 score to Let's Face It, Helen Gallagher, Make a Date with a Great Psychiatrist, and direct from the couch, from Kurt Weill and Ira Gershwin's 1941 score to Lady in the Dark, Gertrude Lawrence, Saga of Jenny.
If your love affairs are all involved, if you've other problems that must be solved, if you're worried about the way you look, if your son just eloped with your favorite cook, make a date with a great psychoanalyst and lie down. If at winning bridge you've lost your touch, if you dream about Bert Law too much, if of late you're constantly in your cups, if your peaks become the mother of poodle pups, ring the bell of a swell psychoanalyst and lie down. If your nights are dreary and your days long, 'cause your boyfriend just gave you the gate, find a fancy doctor with a chaise lounge and wait, simply wait. If your lawyer's been sent to Alcatraz, if you just found out that your husband has every day with a gay cutie podiatrist, I suggest that it's best you should try a tryst with some active, attractive psychiatrist and lie down.
Once was a girl named Jenny, whose virtues were varied and many, excepting that she was inclined always to make up her mind. And Jenny points a moral with which we cannot quarrel, as you will find. Jenny made her mind up when she was three. She herself was going to trim the Christmas tree. Christmas Eve she lit the candles, threw the tapers away. Little Jenny was an orphan on Christmas Day. Jenny made her mind up when she was 12 that into foreign languages she would delve. But at 17 to pass her it was quite a blow that in 27 languages she couldn't say no.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
To Jenny I'm beholden, her heart was big and golden, but she wouldn't make up her mind.
In foreign languages she couldn't say no.
Jenny made her mind up at 22, to get herself a husband was the thing to do. So she got herself all dolled up in her satins and furs. She got herself a husband, but he wasn't hers. Jenny made her mind up at 39. She would take a trip to the Argentine. She was only on vacation, but the Latins agree. Jenny was the one who started the good neighbor policy.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
For passion doesn't vanish in Portuguese or Spanish, and she wouldn't make up her mind.
She instituted the good neighbor policy.
Jenny made her mind up but 75. She would live to be the oldest woman alive. But gin and rum and whiskey play such funny tricks. And Jenny kicked the bucket at 76.
Jenny points a moral with which you cannot quarrel. Makes a lot of common sense.
Jenny and her saga prove that you are gaga if you don't keep sitting on the fence.
Jenny and her story point the way to glory to all men and womankind.
Anyone with vision comes to this decision.
Don't make up, you shouldn't make up, you mustn't make up, or never make up. Anyone with vision comes to this decision.
Helen Gallagher, Make a Date with a Great Psychiatrist, and Gertrude Lawrence, Saga of Jenny. You're listening to Fascinating Rhythm, Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. Unless you're singing one of those old ballads that unfolds endlessly in four-line stanzas, the stories and songs have to be short and tight. Most songs are only 32 bars long. Because they're usually romantic, they often focus on personal feelings and the people close at hand. Some are love songs, as you'd expect, but not always. There are love songs to come, but first some personal testimony, some explaining of circumstance and a life being lived. In this case, it's a dancer trying to get ahead. From a chorus line, Pamela Blair, Dance 10, Looks 3.
But after a while I caught on. I mean, I saw what they were hiring. I also swiped my dance card once after an audition, and on a scale of 10, they gave me, for dance, 10, for looks, 3. Well, dance 10, looks 3, and I'm still on unemployment, dancing for my own enjoyment. That ain't it, kid, that ain't it, kid. Dance 10, looks 3, it's like to die. Left the theater and called the doctor for my appointment to buy tits and ass. Bought myself a fancy pair, tightened up the derriere, did the nose with it, all that goes with it, tits and ass. Had the bingo bongos done, suddenly I'm getting national tours. Tits and ass won't get you jobs unless they're yours. Didn't cost a fortune neither, didn't hurt my sex life either. Flat and sassy, I would get the strays and losers. Beggars really can't be choosers. That ain't it, kid, that ain't it, kid. Fix the chassis. How do you do? Life turned into an endless medley of gee, it had to be you. Why, tits and ass. Where the cupboard once was bare, now you're knocking, someone's there. You have got them, hey, top to bottom, hey. It's a guess. Just a dash of silicone, shake your new maracas and your phone. You see, keep the best of you, do the rest of you, tits or class. I have never seen it fail, debutante or chorus girl, or why? Tits and ass, yes, tits and ass have changed my life.
From Marvin Hamlisch and Edward Claiborne's 1975 score to a chorus line, Pamela Blair with Dance 10, Looks 3. Turning your life around is one thing, coming out on top something quite different. You may start as a poor immigrant or as a shy young woman who leaves her small hometown behind. What happened between then and now is what matters in these two very personal songs, one in the form of memoir, the other of biography, and both very selective. Peter Friedman, Buffalo Nickel, Photoplay, Inc., and Milford Fargo and Nancy Kennedy, She Used to Be the Slowest Girl in Town.
Anyone can get lucky in America. I remind myself of this every day. The first nickel I ever earned, I keep in a little silver frame. It's how I gave my company a name. Reminding me how very far I came. I was a maker of the silhouettes who made a small improvement. A little book of silhouettes that simulated movement. Well, people seem to like it, soon the money's going clink. And I'm Buffalo Nickel, Photoplay Inc. I go from silhouettes to photos, I invent a small projector. And soon I'm making movies, and they're calling me director. An industry is dawning, and I'm standing on the brink. Mr. Buffalo Nickel, Photoplay Inc. Life shines from a shadow screen, comical yet infinitely true. People love to see what people do. Hear what everyone is someone new. Such tales from the shadow screen. Little men who never get the breaks. Fighting until something finally takes. What a lovely movie it all makes. Well, business is booming, I'm happy to say. I just made a contract to film for Pathé. A series of chapters that end in suspense. Each week see what's next for another 5 cents. And I am waking every morning filled with such anticipation. I frame the sea, I frame the sky, and this is my vacation. I shake your hand, I kiss your hand, I buy you all a drink. And maybe if you chance to see a movie that was made by me, remember when my name goes by, that's Ash, K-E-N-A-Z-Y. The baron now American who happened once to think of silhouette and flicker book and movies as they're meant to look at Buffalo Nickel. Buffalo Nickel, Photoplay Inc.
Dynamited.
From Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty's 1996 musical Ragtime, Peter Friedman, Buffalo Nickel Photoplay, Inc., and from 1914, Milford Fargo and Nancy Kennedy with Charles McCarran and Raymond Walker's She Used to Be the Slowest Girl in Town. A lot of these story songs are life stories, portions of a biography or autobiography that fit well within the limits of a song. They're focused, even brief, and they speak with emotion and a sense of drama. Joyful or sad, but rarely casual or meandering, they have to matter. Amanda McRoom sings Errol Flynn, a song not about Errol Flynn, and Phyllis Newman follows with My Mother Was a Fortune Teller.
In a hall, on a wall, in a house, in Reseda, there's a poster held up by two nails and a pin. It's my daddy, the actor, about to die with his boots on. He's the man standing up there beside Errol Flynn. He got third or fourth billing at the end of each picture. Well, that don't mean much, he would say with a grin. But he'd hold my hand tight as he pointed his name out. Only four or five names down below Errol Flynn. Now fame, it is fleeting, and stars, they keep falling, and staying right up there, that's the business of art. And luck kisses some and she passes by others. Disappointment and bourbon are hard on the heart. Now the women and beers and the years with old Errol, they took their toll and took me from his side. He kissed me goodbye at the old Union Station. That's the last time I saw him, the last time I cried. Now I'm sitting alone in a house in Reseda, watching the late show as the moonlight shines in. And up on the screen, well, here comes my daddy. It's a sad, funny feeling. Now I'm older than him. So, you daddies and daughters, you sons and you mothers, remember, life's over before it begins. So love one another and stand close together, as close as my dad did to old Errol Flynn.
She told, you'll sing and dance and make the people happy. All you touch will turn gold. All men will want you. You can pick and choose them. Someday you'll find your prince. He'll be rich and handsome and he'll love you always. Oh, I've thought a lot about it since. Yes, I've thought a lot about it since. My mother, a fortune teller who predicted my fate was to be an artist who would use her talents someone clearly destined to create, with a sense of humor and a sense of values, full of goodness, full of cheer. Love of God and country, dogs and cats and children, what would she say now if she were here? What would I do now if she were here? My mother was a fortune teller, and though much of it came true, I am still surprised if someone doesn't love me, or if something that I did won't do. So I sing and dance and make the people happy, turn disasters into jokes, stay with the man I marry and my dogs and children. But you ain't seen nothing yet, you folks. No, you ain't seen nothing yet, folks. 'Cause my mother was a fortune teller. Yes, my mother was a fortune teller. Oh, my mother was a fortune teller. The funny thing is, she really was.
Amanda McBroom with her and Gordon Hunt's Errol Flynn, and Phyllis Newman with her and John Clifton's My Mother Was a Fortune Teller. A good story needs a climax or crisis. Somebody has to collide with a brick wall and then struggle to get over, around, or under. Find a ladder or start digging. You discover something or you confess something. Either way, something is different and it feels frightening. Something secret becomes known. Love replaces friendship. Mark Waldrop, Once I Had a Friend.
I'm looking for someone who's looking for someone who's looking for someone to love.
Hey, love. Hey, love. This was the boy that I grew up with in summer, in fall. We've understood each other since we were small. Always together, trading secrets in winter and spring. I wouldn't hesitate to tell him a thing. But suddenly my words come slowly, and suddenly my eyes are shy. Suddenly my breath comes fast, and I wonder why. Once I had a friend, my friend was like a brother. There never was another who could always read my mind. I thought that with my friend, the bond we had was mental and gentle and compassionate and kind. I used to think how pure it is, this friendship we've made. But now I'm not so sure it is. Something's changed, and I'm afraid. I've lost myself a friend, and found myself a lover. And now I must discover whether he feels at all the same way about.
Mark Waldrop with Mary Rodgers and Stephen Sondheim's Once I Had a Friend. Because most songs are about love, most story songs relate a love story, or at least part of a love story. This one ends with a wedding, But it's so long, it's almost never recorded in its entirety. Cole Porter wrote it as part of his 1936 score to Red Hot and Blue. Colin Donnell and Laura Osnes, It's the Lovely.
The night is young, the skies are clear, and if you wanna go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's the lovely. I understand the reason why you're sentimental, 'cause so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's the lovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is, romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low. Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's the limit, it's deluxe, it's the lovely.
I feel a sudden urge to sing the kind of ditty that invokes the spring. So control your desire to curse while I crucify the verse.
This verse you've started seems to me the tin pantithesis of melody. So spare me, please, the pain. Just skip the damn thing and sing the refrain.
Go walking, dear. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. I understand the reason why you're sentimental, 'cause so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low.
Go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me,
it's divine, dear.
It's divine, dear.
It's the wunderbar.
It's the victory. It's the valor. It's the bitter. It's the voice. It's the lovely. Kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's it's
it's still lovely.
Colin Donnell and Laura Osnes, It's the Lovely. You're listening to the Peabody Award-winning Fascinating Rhythm, Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. A lot of these songs are about love, and a lot aren't. A lot of them are also city songs, in their setting, but also their attitude. I've been using the last few songs to trace the history of a love affair, some long-term, some a single moment. It's the Lovely culminates with a wedding, but what about the marriage that follows? It may lead to a different kind of rendezvous, either in a courtroom or a hotel room far away from a husband's prying eyes. Both songs are comic, but both are also about a marriage in disrepair. We're about to laugh at misery. Eddie Cantor making Whoopee, and Karen Ziemba, Arthur in the Afternoon.
Every time I hear that march from Lohengrin, I am always on the outside looking in. Maybe that is why I see the funny side when I see a fallen brother take a bride. Weddings make a lot of people sad, but if you're not the groom, it's not so bad. Another bride, another June, another sunny honeymoon, another season, another reason for making whoopee. A lot of shoes, a lot of rice. The groom is nervous, he answers twice. It's really killing that he's so willing to make whoopee. Picture a little love nest down where the roses cling. Picture the same sweet love nest. Think what a year can bring. He's washing dishes and baby clothes. He's so ambitious, he even sews. But don't forget, folks, that's what you get, folks, for making whoopee. Another year, or maybe less. What's this I hear? Well, can't you guess? She feels neglected, and he's suspected of making whoopee. She sits alone most every night. He doesn't phone or even write. He says he's busy, but she says, is he? He's making whoopee. He doesn't make much money. $5,000 per. Some judge who thinks he's funny says you pay six to her. He says, now judge, suppose I fail. The judge says, but right into jail. You'd better keep her. You'll find it's cheaper than making whoopee.
Everyone's noticed the change in me, the heartening, startling change in me. No longer depressed, I'm looking my best, and I'm totally in control. Though grim and obsessively sad was I, and never organically glad was I, now life is the berries and cherries invaded my bowl. Harvey and the children are relieved. My girlfriends say I'm not to be believed. And the secret isn't diet, drugs, or pills. I've simply found a new routine to banish all my ills. I have my coffee in the morning, my brandy in the evening, and Arthur in the afternoon. Don't have any gray days since I've my matinee days with Arthur in the afternoon. He has a small apartment in the center of town. I'd hardly say it was posh, but I gun my Hyundai and I hurry on down to hear the banister squeak and the waterbed slosh. Oh, you can keep your crystal to heat up someone's pistol, 'cause this kid is in tune. Because she's got Arthur. That's right, I said Arthur. There's nothing like Arthur in the afternoon. I read Shirley MacLaine, dear, but found all that a pain, dear. I'd rather have Arthur in the afternoon. They say that love is better with the stars in the sky, but not for Arthur and me. We start loving when the sun is high, from a quarter to two to a quarter to three. So don't sit there and glower, just pick another hour for your round trip to the moon. You gotta try Arthur. He's listed as Arthur.
What's that?
I got a little headache. All my nerves are worn a little thin. I was wondering if you had an opening, and if you did, well, could you squeeze me in?
Yeah, I think that maybe we can get it all together later.
You do?
A quarter to two.
A quarter to two? Well, I'm all ready to go to town. I'm on a rip, my motor is getting on down.
From Walter Donaldson and Gus Kahn's 1928 score to Whoopee, Eddie Cantor with Makin' Whoopee, and from John Cantor and Fred Ebb's 1977 score to the act, Karen Ziemba, Arthur in the Afternoon. What follows is testimony from a well-married woman, not necessarily happily, but solidly in her own way. Her husband is less than ideal, but she sorts it out, and the marriage survives. Sarah Zahn sings Lee Pockris and Carolyn Lee's Sooner or Later.
Living my life, this is the first thing. Holding my head up, holding my own. Being his wife isn't the worst thing. Marriages can be accident prone. I have the name Mrs. Buchanan. Rich and respected, stylish and gay as a girl on her way to a ball. And if it's all not one big bed of roses, what's the matter with living my life, blessed or cursed thing? She gets the dregs, but I get the wine. Living my life, this is the first thing. Having a plan is what keeps any man in your life in love.
plays around. Have your hair done twice a day. Just ignore it should he gaze around. Buy a brand new negligee. Husbands, when they're problematic, indicate a brief sabbatical, which in short means, baby, let him. Good lawyer. Nobody knows how far it'll go. But why the need to light a fuse to him? Wait until she puts the screws to him down in that.
Sarah's on Sooner or Later. A young woman moves into a new apartment. A young man writes a play. And then the chaos commences. What happens that first night when you try to settle down to sleep? What happens when you try to get your play produced? The first, a momentary mess. The second, a comic nightmare. Kristen Chenoweth, The Girl in 14G, and Arthur Siegel, I Wrote a Play.
Just moved in to 14G, so cozy, calm, and peaceful. Heaven for a mouse like me, with quiet by the leaseful. Pets are banned, parties too, and no solicitations. Window seat with garden view, a perfect nook to read a book. I'm lost in my Jane Austen when I hear. Say it isn't so. Not the flat below. From an opera wannabe in 13G. A matinee of some cantata, Wagner's Ring and Traviata. First night in 14G, I'll put up with Puccini. brew myself a cup of tea, crochet until she's feeny, 8:30. Not a peep, except the clock tick-tocking. Now I lay me down to sleep, a comfy bed to rest my head, a stretch, a yawn, I'm almost gone then.
Do we want to tell the blues, Billy Boy, or Pippin? La 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 la.
Now the girl upstairs wakes me unawares, blowing down from 15G, her reveille. She's scatting like her name is Ella. Guess who answers a cappella?
Zoop doo doo floor door. Zoop doo doo floor door.
I'm not one to raise my voice, make a fuss, or speak my mind, but might I query, would you mind if, could you kindly stop? That felt good. Stop!
13, 15, 14, she a most unlikely trio. Now what three-bar harmony? All day, all night, we're singing.
And it took me many a day. It took me many a month, here, here. It took me many a hungry year. Yet I still thrill when I say that I wrote a play. When I finished my play, I said to myself one day, it must have a title with sweep and swirl. Then I suddenly thought of it, Boy Loves Girl. So Boy Loves Girl right away became the name of my play. Then I packed my play and carried it quick to Broadway, where I dug up a millionaire friend of mine who took Gilbert Miller somewhere to dine and filled the great gourmet so full of feed that finally Gilbert agreed to read without a moment's delay Boy Loves Girl, my pearl of a play. A year passed and a day, then Gilbert phoned me to say, I think your play is excellent stuff, but hardly European enough. Yet with slight alterations, it ought to go far. So it's being rewritten by Shaw and Molnar. And I'm changing the title from Boy Loves Girl to Hungarian Princess Loves British Earl. So I rushed to his office that day and stole my pretty play away. I then took my play to the theater guild, hey, hey. They read it and said, it's charming stuff, but of course for the guild, not long enough. So Eugene O'Neill will rewrite the whole thing, and when it's longer than Wagner's Ring, we'll start rehearsing your play at once, as we've simply got to revive the Lunts. But as Boy Loves Girl doesn't quite fit in, we've changed the title to Alfred Loves Lynn. So I rushed to their office that day and snatched my darling play away. Then heavy-hearted I trod with my play to Michael Todd. He read it and said, "It's terrifical stuff, but for Broadway it ain't big and dirty enough. Still, I'm gonna produce it just for a lark. I'm taking the mall in Central Park. It's being rewritten by Gypsy Rose. I'm hiring a nudist to do the clothes. The cast will consist of Man Mountain Dean and a boatload of babes from the Argentine. And I changed the title, so help me God, to The Love Life of Michael Todd." So I ran to his office that day and plucked my precious play away. Then I sent to the coast my play, and Sam Goldwyn phoned me to say, "Hello, my boy, and au revoir. Say, listen slowly and have a cigar. Your lousy play is a stinkeroo. I just read part of it all the way through, but I like the title extremely much. Somehow Boy Loves Goyle has the Goldwyn touch. Now, I bought a play that was tough to get called Romeo and Juliet. But if the title was Boy Loves Goyle, what a hell of a picture for Milton Boyle. And if you'll sell me that title, by heck, I'll wire you at once a blanket check." So I sold him the title that day, and that's what became of my play. Yes, that's what became of my play.
Oh. Kristen Chenoweth with Jeanine Tesori and Dick Scanlon's The Girl in 14G, and from Cole Porter's 1944 score to The Seven Lively Arts, Arthur Siegel, I Wrote a Play. When you rent a new place, you never know who or what you'll encounter. In Wonderful Town, when Ruth and Eileen from a small town in Ohio move into their Greenwich Village apartment, they encounter a menagerie of eccentrics, few more likable than the oafish, charming, good-natured ex-football player who knows his limits but never sacrifices his happiness to what he can't do. He explains all the good things that happened during his 4 years on campus. Jordan Bentley sings Pass That Football.
Look at me now, 4 years of college, famous professors tutoring me. Scholarship kit, everything paid for, food and vacations, all of it free. Day that I left, everyone gathered, their cheering still rings in my ears. Ray, wreck, rah, rah, ray, wreck, ray, wreck, wreck, rah, rah, wreck, wreck. Wreck, we love you, 'cause I could pass that football like nothing you have ever seen. Couldn't spell a lick, couldn't do arithmetic. One and one made three. Thought the dog was C-A-T. But I could pass that football like nothing you have ever seen. Couldn't write my name, couldn't translate Jebusame. Never learned to read Mother Goose or Andre Gide. But I could pass that football like nothing you have ever seen. Couldn't figure riddles, puzzles made me pout. Where the heck was Moses when the lights went out? I couldn't even tell red from green, get those verbs through my bean. But I was buddies with the dean like nothing you have ever seen. Passed without a fuss, English lit and calculus. Never had to cram, even passed the bar exam. Because I passed that football like nothing you have ever seen. Couldn't dance for beans, mashed my girls to smithereens. Sometimes blood was spilled, still my card was always filled, 'cause I could pass that football like nothing you have ever seen. Then there was the week Albert Einstein came to speak relativity. Guess who introduced him? Me. 'Cause I could pass that football like nothing you have ever seen. Had no table manners, used to duck my roll, always drunk the water from the finger bowl. Though I would not get up for any she, the Prexy's mom, age 93, got up and gave a seat to me like nothing you did ever see. In our Hall of Fame, there's a statue with my name. There we stand by Heck, Lincoln, Washington, and Rick. 'Cause I could pass that football like nothing you have ever, ever seen.
From Leonard Bernstein, Betty Comden, and Adolph Green's 1953 score to Wonderful Town, Jordan Bentley, Pass That Football. Story songs range from the farcical to the tragic, and add an additional dimension to what you can do in a popular song to plumb the nature of love and the minds of those who feel it. Andrew Crouch is the senior audio producer. I'm Michael Lasser. The show's Fascinating Rhythm.
Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI-FM in Rochester, New York. Support for this program is provided by this station and by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council. For a playlist of this week's program, or to listen to Fascinating Rhythm online, visit wxxi.org/rhythm.